Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadara, Shiva Sri Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Krishna Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Canto 6, verse 26. Gamarta Kama Iti Yogi Hitas Trivarga. Ekshatrayi nayagama vividacha varta.
Ekshatrayi nayagama vividacha varta.
Maneta eret akilam nigamasya satyam.
Maneta eret akilam nigamasya satyam.
Samarpanam svas pusrada paramasya pungsa.
Samarpanam svas pusrada.
Development, karma, the regulated sense gratification, iti, thus, ya, which, abhihita, prescribed, trivarga, group of three, iksha, self-realization, trayi, Vedic ritualistic ceremony, naya, logic, dhamma, science of law and order, vivida, varieties of, cha, also, varta, occupational duties, manye, I consider, tat, them, etat, these, akilam, all, nigamasya, of the Vedas, satyam, truth, sa atma arpanam, fully surrendering of oneself, swa suhrida, unto the supreme friend, paramasya, ultimate unsa, personality. Religion, economic development, sense gratification, these are described in the Vedas as trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunctions, logic, science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of the study of the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental. Purport. These instructions of Prahlad Maharaj stress the transcendental position of devotional service, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One who fully engages in the devotional service of the Lord is immediately raised to the transcendental position, which is called the Brahma-Bhuta stage. Any education or activity not on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, the platform of self-realization, is considered to be material. And Prahlad Maharaj says that anything material cannot be the absolute truth. But the absolute truth is on the spiritual platform. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Trigunya Vishadara, Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. The Vedas mainly deal with the subjects of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendent to all of them. To act on the material platform, even if one's activities are sanctioned by the Vedas, is not the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to the Parama Purusha, the Supreme Person. This is the object of the human mission. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremony is simply a waste of time. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma sunishita pungsam vishvaksena katasuya nukpadayet yati ratyam srama evi kevalam. Duties are dharma executed by men regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. If one very strictly performs the various duties of religion but does not ultimately come to the platform of surrender to the Supreme Lord, his methods of attaining salvation or elevation are simply a waste of time and energy. Translation, religion, economic development, sense gratification, these are described in the Vedas as Sri Varga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education, self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to the Vedic injunctions, logic, science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study of the Vedas, and therefore I consider them to be material. However, I consider surrender the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental. So, here is a summary of what Prahlad has been speaking about. And here we see Artha, Dharma, Kama are identified as Trivarga, which means three aspects of the, or three subject matters of the Vedas. We have Artha, Dharma, Kama, Moksha. So here he is actually condemning the first three, Artha, Dharma, and Kama. And he's, of course, analyzed these things into different things, like Iksha, Trai, Naya, Dhamma, Dividasha, Vata. So the various occupations, that's the Varnas, logic, rules for control, and even Iksha, self-realization is included here. If one comes to Sattva-gun, then the process of Jnana itself is considered to be sattvic manifestation, and we Brahmins engage in that. So it is also part of the system, though it will lead to moksha if done properly. So he says all of this actually is actually useless because the main point of the scriptures should be worship of the Supreme Lord. So that is mentioned here with Swatman Arpanam. To who? Swasuhrda Paramasya Pumsa. To the Supreme Person, who is also the best friend. So one has to offer oneself to him. And this is Satya. This is the highest principle of all, of the Vedas, Nigamasya. This is the truth of the Vedas. So that is the actual principle. And all this other stuff is there in the Vedas, of course, but it is secondary. So we cannot condemn the Vedas as being completely materialistic, though even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also condemns this in one sense. He says, oh, the words of the Vedas are all pushpavacham, flowery words. So, there is some flowers or plants that have nice flowers on them, but actually they're poisonous plants. So they look very attractive, but actually they're poisonous plants, so you can't eat the leaves or anything like that. So that is the reference to the flowery words. So the flowery words means that the Vedas often give praise to different processes and activities and sacrifices, promising that you get nice enjoyment in heavenly planets, go to Svargaloka and enjoy immortality, etc. These are the flowery words. Very superficially very attractive, ultimately poison, because they don't really give you eternal happiness. They're deceptive. So flowery words means deceptive words. Attractive but deceptive. Another meaning of this is artavad. Artavad means praise, literally, but in this context it means excessive praise, exaggerated praise. Okay? So different results which are not true are mentioned in the Vedas for these other processes in order to encourage people to follow these processes. Say the best process, it will give you eternal happiness, etc. When actually it's not true. So that's artavad. So all of these praises in relation to secondary processes are actually just that, exaggeration, and not absolutely true. And therefore, that's why Krishna says it's all flowery words, because it's not ultimately true. And therefore, it seems as if Krishna is rejecting the Vedas, but he condemns them as being flowery words, and you must rise above the three gunas because the Vedas are concerned with the gunas. That, of course, again, is a little bit of an exaggeration, because we do accept the Vedas as authority. And one of our offenses is Shruti Shastra Ninda, to criticize the Vedas, the Shruti. So therefore, we cannot criticize the Vedas, but we understand that certain parts of the Vedas are meant for less advanced persons, and therefore they encourage them in Artha Dharma Kama. So we should think, think that that is the ultimate goal. That is the actual meaning. Therefore, we should accept those parts of the Veda which point out the supreme goal, which is worship of the Supreme Lord, as Prahlad is saying here. So the real goal, the truth of the Vedas, is worship of the Supreme Lord. And all these other things are all secondary things for people who cannot directly surrender to the Lord. So this is how we have to understand all the different statements in the Vedic literature in relation to these other processes, secondary processes, there is exaggeration when they praise these processes and the results. In relation to bhakti, worship of the Supreme Lord, there is no exaggeration because he gives everything. As already mentioned by Prahlad, actually everything is supplied by the process of bhakti. Everything is taken care of.
So, therefore, there is no exaggeration in relation to the process of bhakti. And therefore, we have an offense to the name, that is, to think that the praises given to the holy name are exaggeration. So no, they're not, because the chanting of the name gives everything. It is chintamani, so it can give artha, dharma, kama, moksha, and prema. So it is quite different from these other processes. So this is the point of Prahlad, to distinguish worship of the Supreme Lord or Bhakti Yoga from everything else mentioned in the Vedic literatures. The artha, dharma, kama are particularly condemned. But even the moksha is condemned, ultimately. Okay? And that is made clear by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he says the fifth goal is not is better than the fourth goal. Moksha is there, but the real goal is prema. That is the final purusharta. So, therefore, all of these different subjects of the Vedas are to be rejected as the real goal, and worship of the Supreme Lord is the real goal. Yeah. So the worship of the Supreme Lord comes in two parts. One is the sadhana part, and one is the sadhya part, the goal, the attainment of the goal part. Yeah. So ultimately the real goal is to attain the goal, which is prema. But the sadhana part to get there is bhakti, sadhana bhakti. And it is not the other processes, karma yoga, varnashram dharma, etc., gan or yoga. These are not the processes. Okay? So the process is bhakti, and the goal is bhakti also. So that is what Prahlad has mentioned here. The purusharta is atma arpanam, to offer oneself to that Supreme Lord. The Parama Purusha, who is also the best friend. The three things mentioned here are the objects of the materialists, and of course, Hiranyakasipu and his teachers, and they're trying to teach this to the students, Artha, Dharma, Kama. So, well, they say, well, what's wrong with that? It's been mentioned in the Vedas. That's true. They are mentioned in the Vedas. But if one separates it from worship of the Supreme Lord, it's all useless, as Prabhupada quotes here. All of this dharma is useless if we separate it from worship of the Lord. Useless labor if it does not lead to worship of the Supreme Lord. And Hiranyakasipu and the teachers are deliberately excluding the Supreme Lord completely from the worship. So they'll never attain worship of the Supreme Lord by the art of dharma and kama. So that type of system, that type of varnashram dharma, which only encourages art of dharma and kama, is completely condemned as useless. If we include moksha there, which Hiranyakasipu will never include that, because he wants to stay in the material world and rule over it forever. Even if we include moksha in it, still, it is not perfect. And for this reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected the Varnashram system when he was asked by Ramananda Roy and others, Varnashram system, that's all external stuff. Because it does not directly talk about the real goal, prema. It's talking about moksha. So he rejects that also. Even you can become detached from the material world. It's still not the goal. Not the real goal. Now, comparatively, of course, it is better than artha, dharma, and kama, because one regulates more the attachment to material things. This says sattva-guna is better than rajaguna and tamaguna, but still sattva-guna is also a guna of the material world, so it's not absolute and it's not the highest thing. So similarly, moksha is better than the other two, but it's not the best thing also. So for that, with that intention, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh no, varnashram system, no, because it doesn't make the real goal bhakti and prema. This does not mean that Lord Chaitanya rejected the varnashram system, he also followed, because he was a sannyasi, even he was in the varnashram system, he followed. But the point is that he rejects it because it does not actually give the explicitly the real goal of life, that is prema and process of bhakti, or here atma arpanam. So therefore, though we read in the Bhagavatam itself, Prahlad himself is actually goes through a whole discussion of the whole varnashram system later on. But we should also not be misled by that, to think that's the highest goal, simply to get stuck in your varna and for the rest of your ashrama. It is part of a system, but it must lead to bhakti, or it must have bhakti within it, otherwise it is completely useless. On the other hand, if we don't have the varnashram system, we just practice bhakti, still, there is no loss. We simply intensely practice bhakti, even without following our duties of varna and ashrama, still we can attain perfection. And we're not to be criticized. So, therefore, in any case, bhakti has to be performed, whether we perform varnashram duties or not. Still, the bhakti is an essential part of that. So that is the goal of everything. And generally in the Bhagavatam, we'll find that because it mentions the great kings, Prahlad, Dhruva, Swayambhuva, Manu, and his descendants, etc. They acted as kings, and they instituted dharma, varnashram system, etc. as part of their duties. But we should never forget that their main impetus, is main goal, is bhakti. They're all very great devotees of the Lord, so all of this other stuff is secondary to the process of bhakti for them. And on the other hand, we see that King Prachinabhard, he got too absorbed in the sacrifices and everything like that. So Narada Muni came and chastised him, told him the story of Paranjana to get him out of that attachment to material karma, etc. Too much attached to the Artha Dharma Kama. So some kings can get too attached to it also, so therefore he gave a warning to him by telling that story. So, though the kings did perform the varnashram system, ideally they will not be attached to it. And when it's time to renounce, they renounce the whole thing. Simply surrendered to the Supreme Lord. We see the Pandavas, they gave up the kingdom completely, and they just walked up to the Himalayas, whatever, like this. We see that other great souls also, like Bharat, he gave up the kingdom, went to the forest, simply meditated and worshipped the Supreme Lord. So, these great kings were not attached to their positions in the varnashram system. They were more attached to the Supreme Lord. So, though they did perform their duties in the varnashram system, we also have to understand that their real goal was worship of the Lord, as is mentioned here by Prahlad. And therefore, we don't condemn the varnashram system and dharma, but we always understand this position. It is secondary. And the main principle is devotion to the Lord.
Maharaj, you said that dharma is like an attachment to hear first name of the Lord and also to surrender to the notice of the Lord. Dharma, you explain about the dharma.
Bhagavad dharma.
But
the other dharma is simply varnashramic rules and everything else like that. Artha dharma kama. That dharma is rules to follow in order to get your artha and kama.
But that dharma which is going to gain us, we are going to gain dharma and kama, but not the Krishna prema. That is a waste of time and devotion. See, in other religion, I'm just talking about other religion, they don't have this facilities to hear the pastimes, and they don't surrender to Lotus, Lord, the Supreme Lord, like that. But how they can achieve that goal? Then it is like, that is not a dharma then.
Well, they do have rules and regulations. Do not kill, do not lie, do not cheat. That's dharma. The same in the Quran. If you steal, they chop your hand off or something. Dharma of some sort. You have ethical principles are there. So that much is there in all religions. Surrender to the Lord in some sense, yes. That's that they pray six times a day in Islam, and Christian, they go to Sunday, we worship the Lord or whatever like that. So there's some idea of surrender. it's not clearly articulated what that surrender is and what that worship is, etc. But it's obviously respect for the Supreme Lord.
Not having the philosophy that completely surrenderness and is wearing the costume of the Lord. They don't have that angle. So
it's not clear. The whole process is not clearly defined.
That means they're not going to achieve the goal.
They're partial. It's just like in the Varnashram system, you follow that, and if you're not educated properly, then you still have an unclear idea of who is the Supreme Lord. Maybe it's a Devata, maybe it's a Vishnu, like that, you know. So they get some little progress, but follow rules and regulations, morality, they can raise themselves with the gunas to some extent. But they obviously, the goal is not clearly defined, therefore, very difficult to achieve a goal that's not defined clearly. They have roles to play, like priests and sages, etc., and devatas, etc., but we're not going to find a clear distinction between tamogun, rajogun, and sattvagun, because it's prominently sattvagun. Yeah? So similarly, in other yugas, there's a prominence of sattva in satya yuga, so there's no varnashram, because they're all one varna. So we don't get a division into varnas, and gradually, as the yugas progress, it becomes a little more tamasic and rajasic, and then gradually the varnas begin to appear. Even in within earth, and on our particular varsha, in other places like the other varshas in Bhumandala, basically it's Boma Svarga. So it's dominantly sattvic. And it's the place where the devatas come when they fall from the heavenly planet. So then it's not, there's not much tamasic there, so you don't get the varnas defined in those places also. But in the heavenly planets, again, it is also dominantly sattva. There is opportunities for rajas and tamas, because nowhere in the material world is pure sattva. So there is some mixture there, whatever. But prominently sattva. So then there's no necessity of all these different varnas to be defined clearly with the, you know, sudra labor force behind the devatas and all this sort of thing. So we don't see that. But they play roles like sages and, you know, devatas or whatever, but the other roles, not very clearly defined as Vaishya community to help support the devatas by doing trading with money. They don't need money up there.
So it's not just roles, as such. It's not that they are naturally played, they're just for the function of the
community. Yeah, but basically it's all on a sattvic level. So we have sages and devatas. Sages playing the role of the gurus, and then the devatas playing the roles of slight administration, whatever that is.
The question come here, see, in material world the population is increasing day by day. But is the population increasing other planets like Svargaloka, Brahmaloka, and Goloka?
It's not mentioned, but obviously there must be some increase in the spiritual world, because nobody falls from there. But the number of people that go there also is limited. It's not that many, so it's not a big increase. And whatever increase is there is not noticeable, because the place is infinite. Is not defined in terms of material dimensions, so you could, just like Dwarka itself had so many population that fit on a little island, or in Raja, in Vrindavan, in the Rasa Lila, there were 3 billion gopis, and they fit within a little little patch of land, which looks like it's impossible to fit them, but it fits because it's spiritual, it's not material. Well, some of the principles are favorable for the development of bhakti. So those principles, they can follow, we can urge people to follow. But that means certain moral principles, like ahimsa, you know, a vegetarian, don't eat animals, etc., don't kill animals, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, four regulative principles, all this obviously is favorable to bhakti. But that much of varnashram we preach. Other parts are very difficult to institute, because nobody's going to follow it unless a government enforces it. and the government's not going to enforce it usually. Definitely not enforce all these different rules of varnas and things like this, and because it's a democracy, and then you can't do that in a democracy unless you overthrow the democracy and put a king in place. You can't, other aspects you cannot really institute in the material world. It's very, very, at this time, very, very difficult to follow those rules. So, therefore, you can't really have an intact varna system because it needs a king to rule and enforce it. Ashram system, to some extent, we can follow, but again, it's partial because it's connected with the varnas. Sudras only have grihastha ashram, for instance, and then they don't get educated at all. So nobody's going to go for that in the material world now. They're going to, you know, they're trying to get everybody educated or whatever. Then, I guess so. It's very difficult to institute all aspects of it. Some aspects which are favorable to bhakti, fine, we can do. To some extent, ashramas, rules of conduct in general for all ashramas, we can emphasize, etc. Not much we can do.
Yeah.
There's lots of discussion, but actually practically, I don't know, it's all theoretical, and how to apply those rules and put it into place, I don't know, I don't think anyone's really done that in terms of varnas particularly. Well, no, the system has to be balanced, of course. That's a duty of the government to encourage the farming, because obviously if there's no food, nothing exists. So the Vaishya community particularly has to be supported in a proper way so that there's proper food supply. So that's the duty of any intelligent government to take care of the Vaishya community so that they can farm properly and provide all the proper produce for them.
करंदरा श्री श्री श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। विष्णु लक्ष्मण महाराज की जय। जीवन ग्रह श्री श्री भक्ति दर्शन श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। भागवत प्रबंध
Yeah.